Please be seated. As we were singing, what a friend we have in Jesus, and we know him. When we know him, have a relationship with him, we have this kind of friendship with God through Jesus Christ. And as we were singing that, I was reminded to pray for the people in the Los Angeles area. Amen. And we've been watching this, of course. We have PowerPoint, a radio and television ministry. We have many listeners and viewers that we're hearing from out there. Of course, we've got pastor friends, and I know that you'll continue to pray for them, that God would comfort them as this massive rebuild of people's lives needs to take place. Well, come on up here, sir. May I introduce to you Pastor Dr. R.T. Kendall. And he is not only a longtime friend, he and Louise have been married for 66 years. He's not quite 90, but he's in his 90th year, and he stays in incredible shape. He was telling me his travel schedule. He's going to China, he's going to Hong Kong, he's going to London, he's going to Seattle, he's going all over the world. And Dr. Cooper, I asked him his secret. He does push-ups every morning and deep knee bends and up and downs and exercises and stays in great shape. That's how he can write 80 or 90 books. He was pastor of the famed, renowned Westminster Chapel in London, England for 25 years, successfully served that historic congregation. He's now a traveling, itinerant preacher and author, and I'm inviting some of my favorite preachers to come in January in our Thrive in 25 series to choose various things, to choose joy, as we heard about last week, to choose life. We're going to hear about that next week. But today, on Dr. Kendall, I would call this a life message that God has given you, sir, and it is choose forgiveness. So he's going to sit because he's having a little battle with an inner ear problem. What do you call that? Vertigo. So he'll maybe tell you a little more about it. But you know, Jesus sat when he preached, so maybe we should all do it. He's going to do it today. Welcome, Dr. R.T. Kendall.
It's a little embarrassing for me. You've never heard me before. The first time you hear me, have to sit. I don't have to. I could stand. But 2 months ago, I had a vertigo attack, and I'm just playing it safe. But after all, you may or may not know that the ancient rabbinic posture for teaching was to sit. Jesus sat when he taught the Sermon on the Mount. He sat in a boat when he taught the parables. So that's my justification for sitting. I'm being like Jesus. I hope this is just a temporary era. It hit me 2 months ago. And if you want to know how God humbles an 89-year-old man, just take a look. This is it. But thank you, Dr. Jack. Very kind word. I never dreamed that I'd preach here one day. Never dreamed. And it's one of the great honors of my life. And I just thank you and pray that I will be a blessing to you today. Our reading is from Genesis chapter 45. I think before I read this, I need to give you the background. This is the moment when Joseph makes himself known to his 11 brothers. You say, well, if they're brothers, why would he need to make himself known? Well, it's because he hasn't seen them in 22 years. 22 years before, they sold him to Ishmaelites. You need to know that Joseph, the son of Jacob, they were jealous of him. You can't blame them. Their dad, Jacob, was not a good parent. It's never good to show favoritism, but Jacob did, and Joseph wore this coat of many colors that his father gave him. Imagine wearing it. I'd be embarrassed to. Didn't bother him, and made the brothers so jealous. They decided to kill him, and they would have, except that Ishmaelites were coming on the way to Egypt, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites. They yanked that coat of many colors off Joseph's back, dipped it in blood, took it and lay it before old Jacob, who took the bait and said, a wild beast has devoured my son. I will go to my grave in mourning. And the brothers tiptoed away and said, well, we got away with it. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, they never expected to see their brother again. But now, here they are. What's going on? They are now having to go to Egypt to buy food. And they have no other choice. And they don't know that what has happened to their brother, he's become prime minister, governor of Egypt. So what happened was the Ishmaelites sold Joseph to an Egyptian officer by the name of Potiphar. And Potiphar gives him a job. Joseph never worked a day in his life, but now God was with him. But then along the way, it's only a matter of time. Every Christian will face sexual temptation. Potiphar's wife began to flirt with Joseph and would say, go to bed with me, go to bed with me. And he would say, no, no, please go to bed with me. Most people I know who avoid having an affair do so because they think they might get caught. And that's what keeps them from having the affair. Here was Joseph. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody back in Canaan would find out. She's not going to tell her husband. It's the opportunity for the perfect affair. But you know why he said no? You can read it. He said no. God knows. God knows. And in that moment, the angel said yes. And Joseph was being tested. And it could be that I'm talking to someone here in this vast audience. You are being tested. And it's possible that there's someone here, you're in the middle of an affair right now, or you're thinking about having one. I have a word for you. You know, the older I get, I'm loath to say God told me to say this or that. I don't like to use those words, God told me. But this time I can tell you, I have a word from God. If you are in an affair right now, you ready? Stop it now. It's only a matter of time. You'd give 1,000 worlds to turn the clock back to this moment. Break it off. In any case, this was a moment. What happens? I don't have time to give the details, but Joseph is made prime minister of Egypt, and he always knew the day would come when his brothers would bow down to him, because he had been given a dream. He had prophetic dreams. And the dream was that his brothers would bow down to him one day. Joseph's mistake was telling that to the brothers. It wasn't smart. But they hated him all the more. But lo and behold, what I'm getting ready to read, this is the moment when those dreams are being fulfilled and they're bowing down to him. They're coming now to Egypt to buy food. And they don't know who it is at first. Joseph knows who they are. They don't know who he is. And so we begin. Genesis chapter 45, verse 1. Joseph could no longer keep his composure in front of all his attendants. And he called out, send everyone away from me. So no one was with him when he revealed his identity to his brothers, but he wept so loudly that his Egyptians heard it, and also Pharaoh's household heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified in his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. And they came near. I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves for selling me here, because God sent me ahead of you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there will be 5 more years without plowing or harvesting. God sent me ahead of you to establish you as a remnant within the land and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Therefore, it was not you who sent me here, but God. May God be pleased to bless the reading and the preaching of this, his most holy and infallible word. Brief word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every person in this auditorium, in order that their perception of what is said will be received as you intend. Cleanse my tongue, that I will be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. Help me to be very, very clear and very, very simple. And I pray that this will be life-changing. In fact, I actually pray that no one here will ever be the same again. And may this word bring great honor and glory to your name. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. The message that I believe I'm led to speak to you on today was born in what was, at the time, the darkest hour that Louise and I had ever gone through. It was during our 25 years at Westminster Chapel. What happened was unexpected. It was not only hurtful, it was the worst moment of my life. It looked like my future was finished. The future was bleak. And what happened was so hurtful, but I couldn't tell anybody. I couldn't tell anybody. But in the providence of God, an old friend from Romania, his name Joseph Tsun, happened to be in London. He was coming to see me. And I thought, oh, I'll tell Joseph. Joseph Tsun, spelled T-O-N, pronounced T-S-O-N. Now, my reason, I think, that I told Joseph is that I thought he'd put his arm around me and say, well, R.T., you ought to be angry. Get it out of your system. That's what I wanted. Instead, he looked at me, and if I could narrow 25 years in London down to 15 minutes, it's when Joseph Tsun said, R.T., you must totally forgive them. For until you totally forgive them, you will be in chains. Release them, and you will be released. Nobody had ever talked to me like that in my life, faithful to the wounds of a friend. And then I said, Joseph, I just remembered, I haven't really told you everything. And I said, listen to this. He stopped me, R.T. And I can remember him now in his Romanian accent. You must totally forgive them. For until you totally forgive them, you will be in chains. Release them, and you will be released. I said, Joseph, I can't. He said, you can, and you must. It was the hardest thing I've ever had to do. And that's when you let your enemy off the hook, or that person who betrayed you, who hurt you, who wanted to destroy you, and you not only let them off the hook, but you pray for them. And when you pray for them, it's not simply you bow your head and say, Heavenly Father, I just commit them to you, because you're hoping God will kill them. But that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus said, bless your enemy. And you actually pray that God will bless them, and you mean it. You say, well, R.T., I can never do that. I believe you. It's the hardest thing in the world. It goes right against nature, because the most natural feeling in the world is to want that person punished to get their comeuppance. And so the thing is, we've all got a story to tell. I could hear your story and probably be embarrassed that I thought I suffered at all. If you heard my story, I could win you over. But I believe there are people here, I would say dozens here, right here. If we heard what you went through, I would be embarrassed to think that I suffered at all. And here's the thing. Because of what we've been through, 100 out of 100 of us always think that in my case, God would not expect me to forgive that. You see, we all look for the loopholes, that in our case, God understands and he lets us off the hook. We don't have to do it. But I'll tell you something. There are no loopholes. And we all want to be the exception. I'm sorry, there are no exceptions. And the truth is, the greater the suffering, the greater the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me put it this way. I only have one hope, only one hope, that you're going to want to take on what I'm preaching today. And that is, if maybe, I don't know you, whether you want this or not, but if there's anybody here, you want a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit than anything in the world, then you're at the right place. The word anointing means the power of the Spirit that enables your gift to function with ease. And so, if you want a greater anointing, you're in the right place. If that doesn't matter to you, well, in the next 15 minutes, you're gonna be bored. But I can tell you now, what I've got to say, it's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. The question is, how do you know you have totally forgiven? I'm sure that if I ask for a show of hands, how many of you have forgiven, hands would go up. I believe you. But I want to make a proposition, and here's the deal. If I were to show that you haven't totally forgiven after all, the question is then, would you do it? And so before the service is over, we'll have decision time, and you can decide before you leave whether you want to forgive. Well, the question is, how do you know you have done it? And that's what I want to show. And it all comes out of the text. This is called expository preaching. It's what Pastor Jack does. This is what I do. And so we learn from this text how to know you've totally forgiven. Proof number one, you don't tell anybody what they did. Look at it. When Joseph could no longer control himself, he says, everybody out of the room, everybody out. Now, picture this. Here's the prime minister in Egyptian garb. He's speaking through an interpreter. And members of the cabinet maybe are there. And all of a sudden, he says, everybody out. They don't know why they're asked to leave. But why do you suppose he made everybody leave? I can tell you. He's there with his 11 brothers. He wants to make sure that nobody in Egypt will ever, ever find out what those 11 men had done to their prime minister. Joseph knows that he's a hero. They love him. He knows if the word leaks out, every Egyptian to a man would hate those men. And Joseph wants to make sure nobody knows. The proof of total forgiveness, you don't tell anybody what they did. You see, the first thing we want to do is somebody's hurt, so we get on the phone and tell what they did. We can't bear the thought that people don't know how hurt we are. Proof number one, you don't tell anybody what they did. Proof number two, you don't let them be afraid of you. You see, when we haven't forgiven somebody, we want them to be nervous around us. Husbands and wives that play this game, keep the other nervous. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, love keeps no record of wrongs. Why do we keep records? To prove we've paid. Why do we keep a record of wrong? Oh, so we can throw it up. Husband says to the wife, I will remember that. And sure enough, a few days later, he puts her in her place. This message could heal any marriage on the rocks in this room. by sundown today, if both of you will stop pointing the finger. I'm telling you, tear up that record of wrongs. You say, well, I'll do it when he does it. He says, well, I'll do it when she does it. No, you do it for Jesus. And don't wait for the other. It's a matter of whether the anointing is that special to you. And in order to have the anointing, you need to realize God is the only one that you're to answer to. So proof number one, you don't tell what they did. Proof number two, you don't let them be afraid of you. Proof number three, you don't remind them of what they did. You see, these brothers are scared to death, but he says, don't be angry with yourselves. He's not going to throw up. He's not going to say, why did you do that to me? What's the matter with you men? No. Joseph doesn't even mention. He says, don't be angry with yourselves. Don't be afraid. He has set them free. And the thing is, what gets our goat is when the people that have hurt us don't know how hurt we are. And so we can't bear the thought that they don't know how hurt we are. And so we want them to know. By the way, when this sermon is over, don't walk across the auditorium and go up to somebody and say, in the light of R.T.'s sermon, I forgive you. They'll say, for what? Oh, you know what. No, I don't know what. Oh, you do know what. Well, I don't. Well, you should. Now you've got to fight because you can't bear the thought that they don't know. You see, here's where the anointing kicks in. Instead of making them aware that how hurt you are, tell it to God. See, God knows. God knows. The people that have hurt me, they're still alive in London. They have no idea that I pray for them. They have no idea. I don't know. You see, you don't ever go up to somebody and say, well, I want you to know I pray for you. No, don't tell them. You're talking to God. It's how important the anointing is. So, you don't tell what they did. You don't let them be afraid of you. You don't let them be, in a way, afraid of you, or you're reminding them what they did. Proof number four, you let them save face. Now, that's an Oriental expression. Let them save face. In Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he has a section on let the other person save face. He says you'll win a friend for life when you cover for them instead of embarrassing them or rubbing their noses in it. You act like you don't even know what they did. You cover for them and you make it even look like what they did was right. Listen to Joseph. He said, listen, you didn't do it, God did it. This is what it says. Yeah, therefore it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. Can you imagine these brothers looking at each other and say, we didn't do it, God did it? These brothers cannot believe their luck that the very man they were going to kill is now saying God was at the bottom of it all. How could that be? Well, it's very simple. 400 years ago, God said to Abraham, they were in Canaan, your seed will come up out of Egypt. How could that be if they're in Canaan? Well, that meant somebody had to go to Egypt first. And God said, Joseph, you go first. He said, that's all it was. I just got here first. You talk about letting them save face. This is too good to be true. Proof number five, you protect them from their darkest secret. You see, what was their dark secret? Oh, taking that coat of many colors off Joseph's back, dipping it in blood. They would rather die than have to tell their dad what they did. Joseph knows that, and he tells them what to do. You can read the rest of it when you get home. He protects them from their darkest secret. He won't even let them tell the old man what they did. He protects them. Chances are you know something about somebody. If you were to tell it, would destroy them. Assure that person no one will ever know. That's the way God is with us. As far as the east is from the west, so far are our transgressions removed from us. Proof number 6 and 7, I'll bring them both together. You pray for them, and it's a life sentence. You pray for them forever, and you will bless them, and you'll look after them. You see, here's what happened. 17 years later, old Jacob dies, and the brothers panic, and they come running to Joseph and said, Joseph, forgive us for what we did. And Joseph starts to cry. He said, what's the matter with you, man? I told you 17 years ago I forgave you. I forgave you then. I forgive you now. You see, he really had forgiven them. He really had forgiven them. It was real. And not only that, he says, I will look after you. I will bless you. Comes out in chapter 50. And he prays for them and blesses them. And here's what you need to know. You don't just pray for them once. Husband says to the wife, I thought you forgave me. She said, well, that was yesterday. Listen, you do it from now on. It's a life sentence. It's like if your physician gives you a pill. You have to take this the rest of your life. So with praying for your enemy, praying for these people that hurt you, yeah, that's your way to the greater anointing. It's when you bless your enemy. Well, here's the thing. When you pray for them, you actually ask God to bless them. That's right. And when you reach that place, you're there. You're there. Tell you a story before I leave. When we were at Westminster Chapel, the pattern of the service in those days, the minister led the worship. And I led the worship, and never will forget as long as I live. We're singing the great English hymn, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. And I'm just enjoying it. And then all of a sudden I look, and in comes a woman, and she sits on the fourth row from the back. That woman has done irreparable emotional damage to one of our children. When I saw that woman come in, I lost it. I could barely say, I just had a mouth of words. Praise my soul. I don't know how I did it. And then I had to read the scripture, then another hymn, then the long pastoral prayer. Martin Lloyd-Jones always prayed for 8 or 9 or 10 minutes. I kept it up. And now I have this long prayer. I do not know how I got through it. All I could think of was that woman. But then what saved me was offering time, and I sit down next to the pulpit, and a deacon comes up and welcomes the visitors and says the morning offering will be received. And I've got about 5 minutes to wait to clear my mind. Something happened that I was not expecting. I have to tell you, never before or since, but this happened. This may be out of your comfort zone, but just bear with me. I'm not making this up. Holy Spirit entered into a conversation with me. I don't say this is verbatim, but it's pretty close. So, RT, you want to see revival in Westminster Chapel, is that right? Yes, Lord. Good. How much you want to see revival? Oh, more than anything, Lord. Which would you rather have, revival or for me to send judgment on that woman out there? Revival. Good. Pray for that woman. I pray for that woman. He said, that's not good enough. Ask me to bless her. Bless her. Say it again. Bless her. Say it again. Bless her. Do you mean that? Yup. So what if I take you seriously and I answer your prayer and I bless her? Say, Lord, you wouldn't do that, would you? But that's the point. And I just start saying, bless her, bless her, bless her. It was killing me. It was killing me, because I knew God was going to answer that prayer. And guess what? He did. That woman is still alive in London today. She thrives in London. God answered my prayer. What I don't know is whether in heaven I can avoid going up to her and say, well, I know why God blessed you. But you know what? Here's why I tell the story. What happened after that and this experience of total forgiveness, I was no more expecting this than anything. You talk about anointing. You see, my gift, my anointing, I'm a Bible teacher. That's what I do. I don't have the gift of healing. I don't have the gift of prophecy. I'm a Bible teacher. This is what I do. And I began to get more insight into the Bible. At that time, I had written three books. Today, I've written between 80 and 90 books. It's not my brain. It's not my education. It's this anointing. Amen. He will do it for you. Doesn't mean you'll be an author, but you have an anointing. You have a gift. Whether you're a physician, a lawyer, accountant, truck driver, waitress, you got an anointing. And you have no idea how God will bless you. Amen. You say, but RT, you don't know. I don't have a great gift. Do you know what Joseph's gift was? Prophetic dreams. That was his gift. And he told his brothers, that one day you're going to bow before me. Can you imagine if Joseph came to Plano, Texas? Is that where I am right now? Do you have an employment agency in this town? Probably. Or if he has to go down to Dallas. So imagine Joseph today goes to an employment agency and he wants a job. And they say, okay, what do you do? Tell us your gift. What do you do? He says, prophetic dreams. Prophetic dreams. Well, let me write that down. Thank you. And your name again? Thank you very much. We'll be in touch with you. You may say that, well, my gift is about as significant as that. I'm going to tell you something. Who would have known that that gift of prophetic dreams will one day make Joseph prime minister of Egypt? And you have no idea how God will bless you. The next governor of Texas could be here. The next Billy Graham could be here. You have no idea. But until you totally forgive, God can't use you. As long as there's a trace of bitterness, you don't qualify. All right. Sermon finished, but wait. I made a proposition. I don't know if you accepted it, but here was the deal. If I were to show in the last 20 minutes that you haven't totally forgiven after all, would you then do it? Well, you've heard my sermon, and you know whether God has spoken to you. And here's the deal. It's decision time. If you are ready now to forgive totally, I'm going to ask you to do something that'll be outside your comfort zone. I want you 30 seconds from now, if you're ready to forgive, to stand to your feet. You see, in front of all these people? Yep. Oh, they'll know I've had a problem. Well, yes. Is that so important to you? What about what you care more about, what God thinks or what people think? In 15 seconds, I'm going to ask you to stand. Don't stand unless by standing you're prepared. You won't tell what they did. You see, RT, I've already done it. Don't do it anymore. Don't point the finger at them. Let them save face. If you're prepared to forgive totally, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. If you're prepared to forgive, stand to your feet right now. Stay standing. Remain standing. I'll wait 15 seconds. Don't miss this moment. Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. He's near. He's here. This moment may not come around every day. This is your moment. All right. What you've just done is the easy part. The hard part will be an hour from now. You say, oh, what came over me? Or tomorrow morning after a cup of coffee, you think, I can't believe I did that. Now look, we haven't prayed yet. You can still get out of it. But now it becomes very serious. We're going to enter into a prayer covenant. That makes it very serious. A covenant in the Bible was always ratified by blood. Well, we're under a covenant right now. The blood was shed 2,000 years ago. And so you're going to make a covenant with God. And so I'm going to give you the words to say. Don't say them unless you mean them. If you mean them, say it. If you don't mean them, don't say it. And I'm not going to look and see who's praying. This is not between you and me. This is between you and God. If you're ready now, I want you to pray out loud these words. Here we go. Lord Jesus, I need you. I want you. I'm sorry for my sins. I'm sorry for my unforgiveness. I forgive them. You forgive them. I bless them. You bless them. I set them free. I set them free. I set them free. Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your patience with me. As best as I know how, I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, wait, one more thing. P.S. No, you don't need to say P.S. This is my P.S. When you mess up, and you will, the devil will come along and say, oh, you broke the covenants, it's over, forget it now. That would be the devil. Listen, when you mess up, like you say something about a person not very nice, you reveal something, you lose your temper, the devil will say, see, there, it's over. No, there's good old 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As soon as you mess up, just say, God, I'm sorry. And that way there'll be no discontinuity. If I never see you again, you will keep this up. And the anointing is going to kick in, I guarantee it, over a period of time. For some of you, it's the most important decisions you've made since your conversion. Well, that's it. I'm finished. Pastor Jack.
Remain standing. Go ahead and remain standing, and I'm going to ask everyone in the room. We say here at Preston, when no one stands alone. And so we stand with you and we pray with you and for you in this commitment to total forgiveness. Jesus put it right in the heart of the prayer he taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer, the model prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So it is an ongoing spirit of forgiveness and love that we have in Christ. Such an important message, because here we are in a new year and a lot of people are dragging from the past, from the old year, from yesteryear, stuff that should have been left behind a long time ago. Your hurts, the betrayals, the stuff that people did or said, and you're only hurting yourself. When you set someone free in forgiveness, you set the captive free, which is you.
That's right.
Yeah. So, forgiven people forgive people. Forgiven people forgive people. You can't forgive until you are first forgiven. And so some of you have never made that commitment to receive Christ into your life. I mean, this all sounds like crazy talk. Forgiving your enemies, forgiving people who hurt you, that's impossible. Nobody does that. No, outside of Christ, it probably is impossible. But if you know Christ, he gives you the power to forgive. So I'm going to ask that you bow your heads with me in prayer. And if you haven't received God's forgiveness yourself, Jesus went to the cross. He died on the cross. His blood was shed for you. He rose again on the third day. And if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. You can be forgiven. So pray, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. I trust you and you only to forgive me and change me and make me your child. Pray a prayer like that. Pray it from your heart. Now, this was a different kind of morning, obviously. And the public decision has already been made. We're not going to have a come forward today as we normally do because we've really already done that. God's moved in so many lives. But if you want to make a decision for Christ today, you prayed that prayer, don't leave without telling someone. Go to Guest Central and say, we have a Bible we'd love to give you. We'll give you a New Testament, a Bible with study notes. Go out there and pick it up. Just say, you know, I've been forgiven. I've trusted Christ. I didn't expect it. I wasn't planning on it. But Jesus came into my life today. Let us help you with that. If you need a church home, and many of you do, some of you, I don't know, I'm just prompted to say this before we go. Some of you have been hurt by a church. You've been hurt by church people. And you've resented it from that day forward. And it's kept you out of church. It's kept you angry and mad. Forgive. Get into this church and serve the Lord. It's either revenge or revival. You can't have both. And if you're going to thrive in 2025, you can't do it carrying all that stuff from the past. Let it go. Give it to God. Live in the fullness of his forgiveness and forgive others in Jesus' name. Amen. And God bless you. Choose forgiveness.